this evening to wrap things up. Let's go to Acts chapter 20 with me, please, tonight. Acts chapter 20. As has been my normal custom, I try to give you just a little bit of a sense from mission trips as you've allowed us to serve. As my wife mentioned, we are appreciative of how you provide so that we can do these things. And it's a blessing. I trust that we're a blessing to our missionaries and so forth. It was a blessing in my life to be there, to be a part of it, to see God work. That's an amazing joy. As I evaluate and consider what's going on in the work of Hungary and those missionaries that we know and love, my heart is deeply burdened, frankly. It's obviously personal because of Mom and Dad Potter being there, in the sense that I know that they're getting to the point where they need to come off the field. Dad's strength is not what it used to be. God gives him strength day by day, but he can't do what he used to do. And Mom is getting that way too, frankly. Mom Potter is getting that way. So our heart is burdened for that work and ministry to see what God will do, how God will provide. Now, and this is not what I'm going to preach tonight or to share with you, but let us not forget, whose churches are those over there? They're Christ, they're God's, aren't they? All right, he's the head. He's far more concerned about the work of the ministry there than I ever could be, than any of the missionaries could be. And I rejoice in that. That gives us hope, does it not? But I do ask folks, please be much in prayer. I tried to point out those folks. Maybe some of you wrote down some names. If you don't remember, come see me. I'll be happy to tell you the names again. Men and ladies that we need to be praying specifically for, that God would use in the work of the ministry there. Church work is very much from the New Testament period, has always been needing good leadership. Christ himself established it. We see it happening in the book of Acts. Paul and his missionary journeys, we're not there, but in chapter 14, remember, as he finishes the first missionary journey, he goes back to each of the cities where he'd established churches and ordained elders in every church, made sure that they were not shepherdless but had shepherds. One of the big burdens of my heart for Hungary is the need for godly and good shepherds and shepherds that grow. I'm encouraged, as I told you about Zoli, growing in the Lord. There was a sense of temper that was not there before and a sense of maturity that I hadn't seen before. Be praying for him. They're expecting child number 3. Their life is going to be full and packed, and those are all good things. Pray that God will help him to, again, balance that out, but he'll be a godly pastor. We do need to pray specifically for Gideon, our missionary. Gideon, as his wife, has the gift of evangelism. He is an evangelist at heart. He loves to share the gospel. He loves to reach people and grow them in those early years of development. For him, the hard work, the patient work, is the long-term pastoral work that can be very difficult for him. Pray that God would give him patience while he's still in Nachkanesia. It wouldn't surprise me at all, folks, that in the next several years, if God would somehow provide someone to pastor that church, he'd be on to start another one. He is, I think, by God's gifting, a church planter. And that's a blessing. But be praying that God would give him that wisdom and balance there. Be praying for Brother Edwin, as I mentioned. Loves the Lord, wants to try to do right. Very minimal pastoral education and training. And he needs to be encouraged and helped. I trust that some of the work that we did at camp that past week was beneficial and helpful even to him, to give him a few more clues on how to dig into Scripture and to be able to open it up to share with his people. But then pray for the church in Page. Dad Potter is the pastor right now. He's the pastor of the work. They are looking earnestly. Whether Bela, the young man that I pointed out, would be the next pastor, that's a good question. He's a young man still. Hungarians, because of a number of things, and Mom and Dad Potter would be able to explain it much better than I would, their culture is a very proud culture, which is not necessarily uncommon to European cultures. But they think that they're the center of the world, and they're the best. And that bleeds down to how every man runs his home, too. He's king. He's not a loving leader. He's king. And so you have kings that get together in a church setting, and they're new Christians, and kings can have battles. Okay? Okay, you're getting it. And so we need to pray specifically, because if a young man would become a pastor, there are men that have been kings in their life, at least in their own eyes, that would need to learn to be humble and to allow a young man to grow in his ministry. It's a unique scenario that we don't necessarily have all the answers for right now, but God does. Let's pray that God would provide for those churches in Hungary godly men that are described here in Acts 20. And that's where I want us to turn, verse 28. Paul here, speaking to the Ephesian elders, this is the last time he's going to see them. And he's giving them a final charge. Men that have already been in ministry for a while, and he's reminding of their duties and responsibilities to lead the flock properly. Verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. So there is to be care and concern for themselves. The clue and the indication here is that they would walk with the Lord, that they would mind their business well in their own life. Paul has much to say about the character of the pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And a lot of that is with his character, who he is, how he lives life, how he functions in the home. So he tells these men, take heed to yourselves, but then take heed to the flock. The Holy Ghost has made them the overseer. That's the word that we would get the word bishop from. They are to administer the work of the church there. So there is a duty of the pastor to oversee, to understand how a flock works and a body functions. One of the pastor's greatest roles is to help the body function together, taking all the parts and helping them do their work. Not doing the work, but helping them do their work. And that takes an amazing amount of God's direction and wisdom. No wonder he brings up the fact that the Holy Ghost has put them in that role, and he's the one that they must rely on to do that overseeing work. But he goes on, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Much of the feeding work, the pastoral, that's the word for pastor or shepherd that we would have in the New Testament as well. Much of that feeding work goes on in the pulpit ministry of the work. My heart is burdened to see those church ministries go beyond where they're at spiritually. And that won't happen, frankly, until their pastors continue to grow. Folks, there is a reason why I continue to study, why I continue to try to grow in my skills is delivering God's Word. It's because it will ultimately help you. I need to be a godly pastor that's always growing. Why do I go to a conference or two to get charged up, in a sense, to be challenged? Or read books that talk about how to preach better? Or take the time to study commentaries, these thick commentaries, to understand the passage well? Because I need to feed you well. So too, these pastors in Hungary need to continue to grow in their development. Like I said, my heart is overjoyed with I see what's going on in Zoli's life. He's working at it, and I'm glad and thrilled for that. He will become a good pastor that will help. And my father-in-law told Zoli, he said, Zoli, you're a good man, and God is allowing you to grow with your church. And Zoli's heart was encouraged by that comment and encouragement, and that's a blessing. Let's pray that God would help the men in the church in Hungary in particular to be good pastors, to feed their flock well. And so he goes on, it's the church that God has purchased. It's not their church, it's God's church. And the pastor must always remember that. For I know this, verse 29, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. The work in Hungary has, in numerous ways at times, been attacked. There's just no other way. The spiritual wolves are there. To me, the testimony of all those folks at camp together is an amazing trophy of God's grace, that the wolves haven't devoured those folks yet. And there are people at camp that the wolves are trying to devour. We need to pray that God would protect. We sometimes forget in many ways how easy we have it here spiritually. Even though we see America turning against us, we have it well here yet, folks, as Christians. We can blossom and grow. Really, in many ways, we have no excuse. There are multiple excuses for a Christian to walk away from the Lord in Hungary and elsewhere, but that's where I was at most recently. Pray that God would help the pastors rightly protect the flock, and that the flock would not listen to the wolves and those that are inside, the charlatans on the inside, that would draw them away. Verse 32, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Believer, God is the one that will help the churches in Hungary prosper. Would you pray that God would commend his grace, that his grace would help and grow them and develop them, just like it's here. I trust that you're praying for one another here, But let's pray for these brothers and sisters in Christ that need our prayers as well. I've coveted, it says, verse 33, no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Really, in many ways, Paul rightly concludes his challenge to the pastors in this one phrase, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The work of the ministry is a giving work. It has to be. It's exhausting. And yet that's what we're supposed to do, give. Would you pray that God would give the people of Hungary, the churches there, people in the church, and they, as my wife mentioned, they are growing, but they would have a heart to be always giving, to see the work of the ministry go forward. Their economy is something that's fairly good, but with having communism, having been there for many years, there is not the mentality that Americans have. And it can be a fault of ours too, but this individual, I'm gonna go get them and get after the work, whatever it is. And that's not always demonstrated in Hungary. You'll have men that are somewhat, or I can put it this way, laid back. They just kind of let it happen. Government will help take care of my job. I'll just go do the work. And there's not a passion and burden to really say, this work is desperately in need of those who will just give, that will lay it all on the line and say, Lord, my life is yours. Would you pray with me that God would help the people there in Hungary to have that heart to give? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Not come to church. Now, maybe this is a chide for all of us. Not come to church just what we get. But how can I serve? How can I minister? These pastors here in Acts 20 had to be encouraged. You need to give. It's not about you, pal. It's not about what you get. It's about how you serve the Lord. And so pray that the pastors there in Hungary as well, and that God would raise up other men among them. I have not until this point mentioned concerning David Ola. David Ola, as we had some wonderful conversation, he feels like the Lord is calling him back to Hungary to pastor. That rejoices my heart. Here's a young man that knows the language well. I told him, David, I said, that really in many ways is your reasonable service. But I'm glad you understand and know and sense that. Now, he's needing a wife, and he's in hot pursuit. Be praying about all of that, all right? All right? So be praying that the Lord would direct that he would have a godly wife. He is, if I can put it this way, not totally Hungarian anymore. He's been in the States long enough. There's some Americanisms about him, which can be good, which can be bad, all right? Be praying that the Lord will hone him and meld him to be a good servant of the Lord. Could it be that maybe he could go to the work in Nachkanesia and take it over so that Dad could go on and plant another church? That's a possibility, but the timing needs to be right and of the Lord. Let's be praying for David Ola. So he's our missionary kid. Can I put it that way? He's a part of our family. Let's be praying that the Lord will direct him. So he's back here. He's already back here in the States up at Baptist College of Ministry, finishing up his master's. He should be done this year. He's excited about that opportunity. And then next year is when all of this stuff starts happening. How will he get to the field? Will he go there for a while, come back, raise support? When will he get married? All those things. So this is we're at critical point in David's life. Would you pray that God would work in his life, grow and develop him so he can be a godly pastor in Hungary that so desperately needs his skills and abilities, his talents, his ministry, his giving? A lot to pray about tonight. Let's pray that God would help our missionaries grow in their skills and ability to give God's word out well. Pray that God would provide people, laborers. We've talked about it from our study in the book of Matthew. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. Hungary is white. It's ready. We need people that are willing to serve. So let's make it a matter of prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord. I know that I'm the one that was there. I'm the one that feels it, if I can put it that way. Thank you for attentive hearts tonight. We thank you for the truths of your word. I thank you for Paul's challenge to the elders, and I pray that you would help the work and the ministry there in Hungary in particular, among these four churches, and Lord willing, in days ahead more. Lord, we pray specifically for godly and good leadership, for men in the churches that would take on godly character, be humble, but also be giving. Lord, would you provide in a unique way? We talk much here at Heritage Baptist Church about the ministry of prayer. We have a family, Lord, you know, that spends much time in prayer. Lord, would you help us to be found faithful in praying for our missionaries, the Olas, and their sister churches in Hungary? Lord, protect them. Help them. Keep them from the evil one. Grow and develop leadership in those ministries. May they not lose young people that would come to the States and not come back. Lord, Hungary is in desperate need of the gospel, and I think it can be ripe to harvest. There are ready opportunities. Would you provide laborers? May we as a church family be found faithful praying for that. Lord, would you send just the right folks to serve there? It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.